Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's good to be with you on this Monday and or Saturday night, depending on what you got going on in life. What the heck, Booba? What?
Oh, man. I look creepy.
I mean, you're a little pasty. You're a little pasty in the film.
In real life, I am not a ghost.
All right, here's what we got going on the show tonight. We've got some secular versus Solomon. I'm going to give you a bit of wisdom, and you need to tell me whether it is a secular bit of wisdom or whether it is a biblical bit of wisdom or what we'll call Solomon. And so, you can play along in a home game. If you're driving, don't get too crazy with it. Try to keep score in your head. But otherwise, we'll do that. We'll get secular versus Solomon. It's a quiz day. We haven't done a quiz in a while. There's a lot of places. Basically, we'll test our biblical knowledge. We'll see how we're doing and see if we can pick up the right understanding of discerning what we know of God's word using cheap online quizzes about the Bible.
We tend to either rock those or bomb them. There's no middle ground.
No, that's true.
Hey, man, we rocked the clouds one. I know that one.
See, I'm not sure that speaks highly of us.
No.
But anyway.
We rocked the clouds.
Okay, that's good. Also, we got some advice on Dear Life from the Path. Mike, do you have a chance to look at any of that stuff?
Yeah, man, there's all kinds of crazy stuff coming up here. There's a friend with deep pockets that insist on paying the tab everywhere they go.
Oh, what's their name?
Yeah, there's also an aftermath of a son's affair puts grandma in an awkward spot.
Oh, no.
What?
So that'll be some life to handle.
All right, let's see if we can help out with that. Hey. Before we get started going any further on the show, I want to remind you that we have a big show coming up. It's next Tuesday, the 14th. Well, two things, actually. So Silverside's going to be in studio next Monday, the 13th, for the live show. You can catch that at 10 p.m. at livefromthepath.org. We'll be interviewing the band Silverside. They've been in studio before. They're great to have in. They're a ton of fun. They always got cool stories from the road. They love Jesus, and they're great artists. So we're going to talk to them on the 13th. And then on the 14th, so they're going to hang around in town. And they've agreed to stay and do a benefit with us to raise money for Des Moines homeless. And there's been recent flooding in the area. Guys live down by the river, man. So, you know, when that stuff floods, it takes out everything. And so Silverside's in town, and they're going to stay, and they're going to do a special concert at Pathway Church in Johnston. It's at 6523 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. And they're going to be here for that. It's going to be at 7 o'clock. It's free. And all proceeds basically benefit the homeless. When I say proceeds for a free show, what I mean is bring $5. Something that we can kind of compile together. Bring a tent, socks, bug spray. Booba, what else they need?
So they're looking for the brown and green tarps that they can have. Like we said, just water bottles and then bug spray are some of the biggest things that we can get.
Okay. Yeah. So bring that stuff around, or like, I don't know, $5, whatever you got.
Yeah.
Makes sense that we can, we'll get it to Joppa Outreach, and then Joppa will take care of making sure it gets to the right folk and getting those people restarted. And it's a big deal, guys. It's a big deal when everything you got is kind of carried away in the water. And so Silverside's going to hang around and help us out with that and make sure that we can do what we can do to help that situation. So please come out to that. It's next Tuesday, July 14th at 7 o'clock at 6523 Mohay Road. That's Pathway Church in Johnston. And we'd love if you come out and enjoy Silverside and help us put together some stuff to try to help out the homeless who could really use some help. After the recent flooding,
that's gonna be like an acoustic concert, right?
I think so. I think that's what we're targeting.
Because they're usually kind of harder, so it'll be kind of a fun twist.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be interesting what they do. I don't know if their acoustic show like is it's a blend of stuff. I don't know. We'll see what it's like. I'm interested to see how it shakes out.
Yeah.
They've done acoustic here in the studio, and it's been great. So we're excited for that. So I think that'll be cool. What are you guys doing over there?
Hey, man,
I feel like you guys are passing notes like a bunch of kids.
No, we're just trying to figure out why I'm Ghost White. We have literally tried to figure out the two most understandable light sources that have caused me to turn into this, and so far neither of them have panned out. So I'm just weirdly illuminated now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's creepy. That's all it
needs. It's actually really creepy.
All right. Well, anyway.
I apologize to anyone watching the live show right now. So, nobody.
Okay, good. Now that we've got that out of the way, here's what we're going to do. We're going to kick this thing off because we ain't got time to be messing around with this jazz. I'm gonna kick you over real quick to secular versus Solomon.
And now, for America's fastest growing game show, Secular or Solomon?
All right, here's what we're doing. You've wandered aimlessly in America's fastest-growing internet game show, Secular vs. Solomon, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a bit of wisdom, and you need to be able to tell me whether it's a secular bit of wisdom or a biblical bit of wisdom. And the whole point here is basically, do we know where wisdom is coming from? Have you got a pithy thing on your desk calendar, and you're like, good, those are words to live by for my life. And you don't know that it came from Jesus. Like, that may have come from somebody else. I don't like Gandhi or a dinosaur or something. I don't know.
Sometimes people take blah, 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 that's in the Psalms, and I say, I guess. I don't know.
It must be.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like it could be something in the Psalms. I'm not sure.
So that's the kind of thing that we need to straighten out, is do we know where our wisdom is coming from? And that's why we do Secular versus Solomon. So you play along when you're in the car. Here we go, fellas. Starting with Dan Unson. Evil enters like a needle and spreads like an oak tree. Evil enters like a needle and spreads like an oak tree, secular or Solomon.
I'm going to call that is obviously secular, and but the oak tree, it tells me it's Canadian.
It's a Canadian bit of wisdom, Mike. Wait, isn't Canadian
maple? Yeah,
same thing. Same thing.
I'm going to leave that.
They're big leaves. You can make syrup.
That makes a lot of sense.
Oak syrup?
Just go with it.
Yeah, Mike, you're in.
Okay, so I actually tried that. I meant to tap an apple, a maple tree with this $5 online tapper I bought, and I drilled a hole in this tree to put the tapper in. The wife goes, hey, that looks great. And I said, I know, right? She goes, that's an oak tree, you dummy. whoops. Anyway, the Bible makes no mentions of oak trees even existing. And so I'm going to have to go with secular and probably turkey.
Buva.
Turkey.
Evil enters like
a mighty yolks of turkey.
Spreads like an oak tree. Secular or Solomon?
The Turkites are mystified by oak trees because they're not prevalent in their land.
I'm going to go secular England.
These are top-notch. Evil enters like a needle and spreads like an oak tree. It is secular Ethiopian.
Very close to Turkey.
Hey, man, there's no oak trees in Ethiopia.
The Ethiopians are still talking about
it. Yeah, they used to be until they thought evil was in them, and then they horsed them all down.
There it is. Secular or Solomon, here we go.
I got a half a pound point.
Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety. Secular or Solomon, Mike?
No, that don't sound right. That sounds like something they'd say at the Exponential Conference. I'm going with secular and Switzerland.
Secular, Switzerland, Buva.
Solomon, Proverbs 19.
Buva's in with Proverbs 19. Dan?
I'm going Solomon as well.
Crap. Things aren't looking good.
Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 11.
They have a biblical standard.
The Bible says there'll be a time when people say what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right, Mike.
Hey, we should hire more staff.
That can't be in the Bible.
Modern church meeting. We should hire more staff.
All right, here we go. Secular versus Solomon. He who serves two masters has to lie to one. He who serves two masters has to lie to one. Secular or Solomon, Buva.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to go France.
Never trust a Frenchman, Dan Hudson.
Oh boy, it's secular and it's Monaco. I have no reason.
Don't.
It's a feeling.
There's no reason to go down this road, Ben.
Don't shake hands with a Monacian. Mike, he who serves two masters has to lie to one.
Yeah, I usually choose to lie to money because it can't find me out. Secular and Venezuela.
He who serves two masters has to lie to one. It is indeed secular. Portugal.
Thank you.
Portugal.
Portugal and Venezuela used to be the same country. It was called Venezuela, but no one could say it right.
Yeah, that sounds right. Secular versus Solomon. He who is being carried does not realize how far the town is.
I'm carrying the show, Ben.
No, it's no doubt. He who is being carried does not realize how far the town is. Secular or Solomon. Dan?
That would be secular Egypt.
Is that based upon people carrying the pharaohs and
yes,
stuff?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no,
I usually have a reason. They get carried around a lot.
basic internet sleuthing has brought Dan to Egypt. Mike.
Solomon.
Buva.
Secular. Persia.
That's not a country anymore.
It is. It was at one point.
I don't choose defunct countries.
Secular. Persia. Stand firm. Deal with it.
This game has lost its innocence. He who is being carried does not realize how far the town is. Secular Nigeria.
Persia.
Oh.
Which was in Persia.
Nigeria. Thank you.
Solomon was
which was a part of the Persian Empire.
Everything was part of the Persian Empire.
That's not fair.
All right. Secular or Solomon. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Secular or Solomon? Mike.
Yeah, it's definitely Solomon.
You want to take a guess at the chapter?
It's Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes,
second,
Solomon.
Second half.
Booba.
I'm going to go Solomon, and it's Proverbs 4.
Booba's in with Proverbs 4. Dan.
I'm going to say Proverbs as told by the ant and the grasshopper. But it is Proverbs.
I'm not following your reference.
Neither am I.
Here's the deal.
Wait, wasn't that the little story about the ant and the grasshopper? And the grasshopper was, I don't know, one of them was real lazy and the other one, never mind.
There used to be an open mic night on Monday nights at the comedy club, and they said shut it down, and Dan doesn't know what to do with his free time.
Magic Dan shows up to the show.
I was serious. There's no joking, Solomon.
All right, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 10.
Yes.
Proverbs 10. Yes. Wait, so is the outstanding question whether it's a story about a grasshopper in
the
Proverbs 10?
The grasshopper 10? And the ant? You guys don't know that story?
Is it biblical?
It's not a proverb.
No, it's a fable.
Okay. You said Proverbs
said,
and then a fable?
I said as told by, you know, it's just like repeated in.
Hey, man, Proverbs are as told by
proverb,
Solomon.
And some dude told a fable based on really the proverb because the ant was busy and the grasshopper was playing. He didn't have time. So then the winter came. The ant had plenty to eat because he'd stored everything up. And the grasshopper was like starving to death. And
the grasshopper's like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay. All right, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm pretty sure that's a sluggard.
That would be the ant, wouldn't it? Or the grasshopper.
Proverbs 2.
Who's the sluggard?
Yeah, the grasshopper.
Okay.
He was out playing.
Yeah, okay. Hey,
by
the way,
time to work.
I don't need to diminish the wisdom here, but like, I don't know. There's a lot of words that go into something that's pretty basic, right? The guy who does what he's supposed to is good. The lazy guy is not good. But instead he says, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is the son who brings shame.
Welcome to Proverbs.
No, that is kind of straightforward. Hey, man, if you get up off your honky and go do something, stuff will appear.
The harvest is ready. This is the time to get it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sleepy.
I don't feel like I want to harvest.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's just not like, hey, he didn't get around to it fast enough or prioritize it correctly. He went to sleep
through the whole harvest. I mean, that's at least a couple weeks.
He kind of hibernated. Yeah.
The harvest looks so nice. Yeah.
All right, that looks rough times. Here we go. Secular versus Solomon. Better give a penny than lend 20. Better to give a penny than lend 20. Secular or Solomon? Booba.
Secular, Russia.
They don't do pennies in Russia. Bad guess.
Deal with
Dan.
It's
a Cuban.
Definitely.
Secular.
A Cuban penny. Freewheeling. Mike, better to give a penny than lend 20.
Got
to
be secular America.
Secular America.
We're the only ones that have pennies, right?
Oh, wisdom.
You have a point.
Wisdom wise. Better give a penny than lend 20. Secular Italy.
Well, I'd say you were out of bounds, sir, writing Proverbs based on our currency. Write it about your own currency. Who is the man?
He's an Italian. It's a lira penny. I think that's what they use.
I don't understand that.
Do you agree with this? Better give a penny than lend 20?
Now, if they put it odds to odds, right, if they said it's better to give 20 than lend 20, I'd be on board with that. But basically, you've just said, I gave out a large loan, or I can give you a very small amount, which is inconsequential.
So
that doesn't seem generous at all.
You would agree with give rather than lend, but because this one makes you look cheap, you won't agree to it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Booba, your thoughts?
I don't think they're trying to make that weird of a, like...
Do you speak Italian?
No, I don't speak Italian, but apparently they use pennies. It seems like they're saying, hey, man, giving a small amount is much better than lending a large amount because you're still giving it. You're not expecting anything back.
Well, okay, that's not even close to being true because let's say I need money from a car to loan and the bank says, I'll loan you $5,000 to buy the car or I'll give you $10. Well, let's see.
Well,
I need the $5,000.
If you're a bank, lending $5,000 would probably be better for you, but you're not a bank. You're a person. And it's saying giving a small amount is better than lending a large amount. And obviously, giving a large amount would be even better.
I just think I across the board disagree with it. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
That's
all right.
Fine.
All right. Boob is cheap. Secular versus Solomon. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits.
Oh.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Secular or Solomon? Dan.
Secular France.
What?
I think tongue and fruit. I think Dan's put together cultural norms and French.
You know how I think.
Mike.
That's Solomon.
Secular Solomon. Solomon, do you have a location?
Yeah, it's in the Bible. next to Solomon. I'd say Proverbs 7.
Proverbs 7. Booba.
It sniffs of Solomon, but it's not. It's secular Germany.
It's French.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Booba's brought shame in the harvest. Proverbs 18:21.
Yeah, it sounds like Proverbs, but it's not.
But it's not.
It does not sound proverby.
It's more Song of Solomon-esque.
It could be the Lord's word, but I reject it as the Lord's word. It's obviously something else.
Okay, read it one more time for me.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits.
What version is this?
It's the ESV.
This is ridiculous.
People quote that all the time from
which normally means it's not Proverbs.
Early to bed, early to rise, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Secular Solomon.
It's his turn.
Here we go. Whoever winks his eye plans dishonest things. He who purses his lips brings evil to pass. Whoever winks his eyes plans dishonest things. He who purses his lips brings evil to pass. Secular or Solomon, Mike?
What do you think, Mike?
Boy, that does sniff a Solomon. Solomon. I'm going to say Solomon, Proverbs 7.
Proverbs 7. Booba.
Solomon, Proverbs 14.
Move it, double down in recompense for your last failure.
Double down.
Double down. All right. Dan Hudson.
I was totally going to go Proverbs 7, so now I'll go 8.
Proverbs 8. Dan ups the ante.
I see your 7.
There's not enough wisdom or folly for it to be 8.
All right. The now canceled mentalist says, whoever winks his eyes plans dishonest things. He who purses his lips brings evil to pass. Solomon, Proverbs 16.
Oh,
Proverbs 16. Double or nothing is nothing in the purse of Booba.
That's close.
Hey, I'd offer to loan you a large amount of money, but apparently.
Hey, man, can you give me a small amount? That sounds better.
Seriously, I like the sociological implications of this. Like, it's like, how do you tell someone's lying? Ask Solomon. Whoever's winking his eyes has plans dishonest things.
If you wink
things.
Both eyes, you're blinking. You know what I'm saying? Like, a wink is just one eye. So if you're winking his eyes, that's both eyes.
Maybe the Hebrew doesn't have a word for blink.
That's possible.
So they say wink eyes.
I mean, maybe he's just got sand in his eye or something, you know?
Don't they say the body language people that when they blink their eyes when they're talking, they're actually that is a sign of them lying, people lying?
Hey, you know what would be funny?
Maybe like a higher rate of blinking.
Yeah. I mean, you normally blink. I mean, it's a,
You can walk down the aisles at the Walgreens. As soon as the guy picks up a clear eyes, you're like, liar! You are dishonest to your core.
I suppose you could do that.
I know what you're trying to cover up, heathen.
You plan dishonest things.
Or you could find something better to do with your Friday nights. Your call.
Secular or Solomon, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Better is a dinner of herbs. Dan goes,
This verse changed my life.
Herbs, no more ox.
I used to be a fat and ox man, but now I'm cumin. Dinner herbs.
I remember I was very far from Jesus, and I read that verse one day, and I thought, yes, Lord.
Herbaceous.
I'll have the salad. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Secular or Solomon, Booba.
Solomon, Proverbs 23.
Proverbs 23, Dan.
I'm going Proverbs, and I'll go 26.
26. Bandwagoning if the 20s. Mike?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a Solomon Proverbs 7.
Proverbs 7. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. It is Solomon Proverbs 15. Off by the double digits. Hey, you know what's interesting about
this? Man, I was off by 8.
Hey, Solomon doesn't, but he doesn't pull any punches here, though, about how bad herbs are. It's to say, obviously, fattened ox is delicious, and it's too bad there's hatred with it, versus a dinner of herbs, which is gross, but at least love is there. Yeah.
Hey, sweetheart, thanks for cooking these herbs. I know you love me, but come on.
The most ancient and wise of knowledge says, dinner of herbs is not good.
Is that Solomon's official stance on vegetarians?
Herbs are their historical yams. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're just disgusting.
Historical yams?
It's a dinner of herbs, though. I mean, like, I suppose, I mean, that's the pickings. That's like someone went and stripped the trees and stuff and set it on a plate and said, enjoy.
Hey, man, I found some grass outside. Pretty excited about it. It's like, oh, man.
What are we having? The backyard?
Yeah, exactly. This is delicious.
All right.
Tastes like herbs.
Secular or Solomon, there are only two types of Chinese. Those who give bribes and those who take them. That is a rough time.
Dan, you're up first. Please say Proverbs. Please say Proverbs.
Here's the deal. There is a sovereign God who dictates all things. That Dan is the first one up on this one. There are only two types of Chinese: those who give bribes and those who take them. Secular Solomon.
Well, I'm gonna go secular. Who
mistake?
Who would say such a thing?
Who would say these things?
Who does not love the precious Chinese? No, they're kind of on the same side. I'm gonna go.
It's like three countries, man.
Based on what, Dan?
Just, who was on China's side?
I was going to say, who's with the communists in China?
I'm going to go with, oh, boy. Okay, I'll just say Japan. Okay. I have no real reason.
Lingering hostilities in Asia. Mike.
Secular Japan.
Secular Japan.
No. I'm going to go with secular and Chinese.
They're against themselves?
Yes.
Collusion.
No. I'm almost guaranteeing.
It's their own proverb.
It is.
They know themselves.
I'm going to go secular Taiwan.
Boy, but everyone's predicting animosity in Asia.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I feel like that's fair.
All right. I'm going to drop a bomb on you. There are only two types of Chinese, -. Those who give bribes and those who take them. Secular Russia.
That was my first one. And I thought, no, they're like buddies, you know.
Hey, man, that's still in Asia. How is that dropping a bomb on us?
Well, right, but you chose like neighbors. Who could lob, blob water balloons at each other?
Russia is a neighbor of China.
No.
It doesn't share a border with it.
Right.
What?
No, yeah, it does to the north.
Yes, it does.
China borders like everybody.
It shares a ridiculous, like, long border with China.
I was just taking a guess. I don't really
that's
know.
True. That's true. Man. Solid point, Bubba.
I'm not sure.
We don't know geography.
That was great. Hey, man, there's nothing like it. Dropping a bombshell with Russia.
China can see Russia from their backyard.
They're in Europe. It's like, no.
For America's fastest.
That was a good recount of what happened. Thanks, Bubba.
Yeah, it really was.
Hey, Ben, what else you got?
Thanks, Mike.
Here's the thing. I know you turned on the radio and you thought to yourself, I'm going to get some wise Christian teaching on this gentle radio station that I've got on. And not everyone can be cerning all the time. And that speaks for the show and the lovely people that let the show come on the air. But you have been a part of America's fastest growing unproven internet game show, Secular versus Solomon. If you enjoyed that show, thank you. You can find more by going to livefromthepath.org. Past versions of Secular versus Solomon, including with special guests such as Righteous Vendetta and voice contestant Chandler Knutson and others. So anyway, test your knowledge of Secular versus Solomon. You don't know wisdom. Oh, man, that was a disaster. All right, let's see. Mike, what do you got over there?
You want some Dear Life from the Path?
Yeah.
Here we go. This will straighten this right up. Dear Life from the Path. My son had an affair that resulted in the birth of a child outside his marriage. The baby's extremely ill. My daughter-in-law has forgiven my son for his infidelity, and along with my two grandchildren, the little family is trying to rebuild and also do right by the baby. The baby's mom stays in contact with us, although she is bitter and unpleasant to my son because he would not leave his family for her. However, she does keep us abreast of the baby's ongoing medical condition and needs. She confided to me that she got pregnant, hoping that my son would finally leave his family. My question is, how do I handle the relationship we have been forced into with the baby's mom? I need moral guidance and some kind of etiquette guidance as well.
Wow.
There's some stuff to sort through there.
It's pretty impressive. I mean, there's some forgiveness going on, obviously. I mean, there's some acceptance going on. There's some reconciliation. I mean, I'm looking at all the big points, and they just have to wade through it, you know? I mean, I don't know if I had advice. I'm impressed with the fact that the family's still together, that they're in contact, that, like I said, there's been some forgiveness. This seems like a legitimate and really good question. I'm a terrible person to answer this one.
There's a couple things about the way that the mom told the story that I think actually gives a little bit of background here.
Okay.
It says that she confided to me that she got pregnant hoping that my son would finally leave his family.
Uh-huh.
So that almost indicates that, like, this affair had been going on quite a while.
Yeah. And she'd been trying to lure him out.
Yeah, and he had also had been lured out. Like, he made the conscious choice to be in an affair for a long time.
Yeah.
And her final play was, you know, you promised me the world, you're going to be with me, you love me, I'm just going to get pregnant so you stay. Like, obviously that is a mistake and a misguided thought process, right? But, like, this dude had been leading her on for a very long time, it sounds. The question is how do I handle the relationship that we have been forced into with the baby's mom? You know, the fella caused a lot of problems here.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, all the problems here are basically on him. And really, there's if you do yourself a favor and throw etiquette out the window and just love her like you would love his wife, right? And like whatever that family wants to do to be offended or not be offended, like he caused this, right? And you don't get to just turn your back and say, well, it's kind of messy for me right now with you in our lives or with you having to deal with my mom. And so, you know, you can be in a relationship with my mom, just kind of keep it quiet and keep it over there. Like, he lost all rights to that when he disrespected his wife, treated another woman in a dishonorable way, and had a kid outside of the marriage that he promised to keep on honest.
Yeah.
And so, like, etiquette, just take etiquette and boot it. And really the advice is there's no etiquette to be had. Just love on the gal and love on the baby like they're your very own, because they are. Heck, I mean, you would treat kids that you don't know better than that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You would treat your neighbor's kids who are having a hard time or in the hospital or, you know, needed help or understanding or whatever. What would you care about etiquette now? It just is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at some point you just have to embrace your life. Like, it doesn't matter the circumstances that surround it or, I don't know, some of the distinctions about it. It just aren't relevant for the next step that you take. Like, they may make it there. It makes an interesting, deeper story from where you're walking from, but it has very little to do with where you're walking to. And so, at some point, you just have to just start walking that path. And I don't know. I don't want to say ignore some of those things, but like, really, all those things that have happened in the past don't dictate the next step that you take or how you take it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you almost have to ignore it. Some of those things. I mean, to move forward.
Yeah, I mean, don't carry them, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't keep bringing up, well, you know, you shouldn't have been born, you know. You know, you shouldn't
that
have been messing
be
with my son.
That would be rather insensitive, Dan.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't work, you know. It's like, and her question is, how do I?
It's the mom trying to figure out, how do I juggle this? Because, like, she didn't create this, right? Her son created this. And she wants to show a loving kindness to both parties, but doesn't want it to be awkward. Well, I mean,
I
it's awkward already.
Yeah.
You took your promise to wife penis and put it in another lady.
Yeah.
Right? It's awkward already.
Yeah.
You've done this. You're just going to have to swim in that pool and not worry about how that family feels about it. It's happened. It is what it is. And there's no reason for two human beings to pay an emotional price because you're afraid of awkward.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm going to have to run the phrase promised to wife penis through the network sensor. Carry on.
I feel like that's legit. Here's the secular advice. Says, don't blame the woman for feeling bitter. Her attempt to force your son into leaving his family failed, and she's now responsible for a very sick child. Yeah, that's an awesome way to shade that one. Like, it's not the dude's fault at all. However, that doesn't change the fact that the baby is your grandchild, and she is your grandchild's mother. Treat her with kindness. Don't make things more difficult than they are by being hostile or judgmental. She's paying for this affair and will for many years to come. Remember always that she is manipulative, but treat her with compassion. That's outrageous. This is outrageous. Like,
it's the woman's fault.
The guy had every play in this. Like, I don't see any part of secular advice going, hey, why isn't that kid living with his dad? Right? Why is the society, like, for the feminist movement, like, why is the instant thing, like, she's got to live with the mom because the dad has a legit family that he's going back to, and she manipulated him. She didn't manipulate him in anything. He chose to have sex with a woman that wasn't his wife.
Yeah, yeah.
That's outrageous advice.
I mean, there's not a celebrated party here, right?
No.
But like, I don't know. It is slighted towards like this guy isn't sitting with any of the responsibility. We had a viewer sent something in and said, you do need to be thoughtful though of the daughter-in-law's feelings. You should love the family wrecker lady, but she shouldn't be invited in to be cozy, really.
Family wrecker.
Good point. Yeah.
The dude is the family wrecker.
Right, but she did offer her. I mean, it takes two to tango here. I mean,
and so far, it's all fallen on this lady.
He needed to say no. I mean, it's on him. But she was also deceptive and trying to get pregnant.
Right. As long as you're lying to your wife, I'm going to lie to you, and then I'm going to get pregnant.
Now listen, granted that the nuff is not falling on the dude, but that doesn't otherwise excuse the behavior of the home.
What
the lady
did was wholesome and right.
She said, look at my nature.
She saw an opportunity to be taken in by a man. No.
Okay, I'm bouncing back too far the rubber band, but yeah. I just, like, this, I mean, it literally just, it angers me, like, there's no mention that the kid should be staying with the dad. There's no because they have a perfect family unit, And so, like, it's on the single woman who manipulated it to a pregnancy agreed. But, like, there's no mention that the kid that belongs even to live with the dad, because you wouldn't want to mess up that family. And it's all on her for being a selfish whatever, for having the kid. She had the kid, didn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things to be said there. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm off on a tangent. I hate that, though. That irritates me.
No, I think that's fair. He escaped. He escaped scot-free out of that situation.
He did, and it's sad.
Yep.
All right, dear life from the path. I have a good friend I've known for 35 years. I was there for her during some rough times when we were both living paycheck to paycheck. Long story short, she's now married to a millionaire, and every time we get together, she insists on picking up the check. Truthfully, I suppose it makes no sense for me to pay. I get that. $50 to me is like 50 cents to her. But the last thing I want is for her to feel I'm taking advantage or taking her for granted. Once I did grab the dinner tab, and she really let me have it. Am I overthinking this? Should I just accept her good fortunes and generosity?
Yes.
Yeah. Let the woman be generous.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to do that.
Yeah. Don't get in the way of her generosity.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see any downside. Like, I don't know. Jump in from her perspective. What is she worried about? Like, I suppose it doesn't make any sense. Like, if she's offering to pay all the time and you have to, like, wrestle her for the tab, the thought process that says she might feel like I'm forcing her to do it seems to make no reasonable sense whatsoever.
Yeah. If she thinks that she's being taken advantage of, this gal is eventually going to say something. Like,
right.
Or just stop doing it.
And then,
or she's the world's biggest, like, defeatist and is willing to just say, well, it looks like I'm just going to be taken advantage of for the rest of my life now that I'm a millionaire.
So I might as well fight you for the tab.
Yeah, exactly. So I might as well fight you for it so I look better. No, that doesn't make sense.
It depends on how well you know the guy, right?
Yeah, like, they say they're best
friends. They've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, so, and so it really shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Just enjoy it.
I mean, it's the same reason that when one of us goes out to eat with one another, no one picks the high-end joint, right? Yeah. You go to the closest Subway or pizza buffet. And then you say, let's go, because I know you well enough to know that the pizza buffet is not going to sting your budget, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, it should make it weird, you know, if you and your rich friend go out, you know, and, you know, you throw out the Subway and they're like, well, let's go to Shea Fancy or whatever, you know? Like, if you offered Shea Fancy knowing that they were going to pay, that seems awkward.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've just never heard of a place called Shea Fancy.
Well, I don't know any high-class restaurants. That's why I refer to them all as Shea Fancy. But I mean, I think as soon as it becomes a, they're always going to pay. I know they're going to pay, and so I'm not even going to try anymore. Like it does seem like you're taking advantage of them, even if you're not, right? It might seem that way, and I think she's just trying to guard against that, in hopes for some integrity in the relationship. And so I don't see that wrong with it. I give it a shot every time. Let me get this one. No, I'm going to get it. I always get it. I make big money. Okay, that's fair.
I think millionaire.
You throw up one objection, and as soon as she counters, you go, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm broke. Let's do the same. Secular says, it appears your friend also values friendship and appreciates how precious long-term relationships are. The two of you have a lot of shared history, and that kind of friendship isn't easy to replicate. I do think you should accept her generosity, but I also think you should share your feelings with her so she can put your mind at ease. If it will make you feel less indebted, consider giving her an occasional gift. It doesn't have to be expensive, just thoughtful. Yeah, they say that. It doesn't work with adults. That's true with kids, right? If kids give you a thoughtful gift that's cheap, you're like, yeah, that's cool.
I made this ashtray.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if one of y'all showed up with something that you, like, paper mache at your place and be like, I don't have a lot of money, but I did make you this pterodactyl. what the heck?
Hey, man.
You didn't need to do anything.
That happened one birthday ago, and you said you love my pterodactyl.
I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're a grown man. Just keep your pterodactyl. And just say, hey, look, I'm short on cash. And I'll say, no problem.
I even YouTubed how to paper mache pterodactyl.
all right, here's what we do. We're going to jump into the first Bible quiz of the night.
Uh-oh.
Stealing from quiz.christiansunite.com. They keep a tally. I don't know how well people have done on this, so we'll see when we're done. But we're going to take what we know on the Apostle Paul.
Ooh.
Here we go. Usually we pick some obscure one. Maybe we'll do an obscure one here in a little bit, but let's wrangle out the Apostle Paul. Here we go. Number one, the Apostle Paul was born in what city?
Tarsus.
Yeah.
Let's just do Tarsus.
Yeah. Tarsus, yeah.
I was trying to decide whether I was going to give you the options. Paul was a citizen of Greece, Palestine, Rome, Damascus.
Rome.
Paul Saul was present for the stoning of what early disciple of Christ?
Stephen.
What road was Paul traveling on when Jesus appeared to him?
To Damascus.
They just will give you a pterodactyl as a gift.
What happened to Paul after Jesus finished speaking to him?
He was blinded.
He was completely deaf, completely blind, slipped into a coma, trembled violently for 3 days.
Blinded.
blind.
I agree blind. Paul was sent to preach to the Jews, the Romans, the Arabs, the Gentiles.
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 That's a tricky question because technically he spent time with the Jews right off the bat. But I believe they're going for Gentiles. Seven, who did the people at Lystra think Paul and Barnabas were? Moses
was
and
it
Elijah.
Zeus and Hermes?
Gabriel and Michael, Jupiter and Mercurius, or Casper and Wendy?
What?
Casper and Wendy?
Wait, what was the third one?
So I think it's Hermes and Zeus. They've said Jupiter and Mercurius.
Yeah, that's three.
Yeah,
they're going Roman.
I've never seen anybody actually listed in the Roman.
Right. Yeah. I've only heard it Zeus and Hermes.
Is that a KJV deal? Do they do that? Why were Paul and Silas thrown in a Philippian prison? For preaching against the Jews, they were falsely accused of stealing, for healing someone on the Sabbath, for casting out an evil spirit.
Oh.
Preaching. Well?
Lystra? Is that what you said?
No. Philippians.
Philippians.
Thrown in a Philippian prison. Preaching against the Jews, falsely accused of stealing, healing someone on the Sabbath, casting out an evil spirit.
Preaching against the Jews. Preaching against the Jews.
Yeah, I'll go A.
I think I just totally skipped that one.
In what city did Paul speak on the Areopagus or Mars Hill? Rome, Athens, Alexandria,
Athens.
Or Tyre?
Athens,
I agree. Who fell out of a window when Paul was preaching?
The dude who died?
Yeah, Tychicus, the little kid.
Syntyche, Eutychus, Crispus.
Eutychus.
Eutychus, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Eutychus.
Crispus.
Mike, you're in with Crispus?
Crispus.
It's not Crispus. On what island was Paul shipwrecked on his voyage to Rome? Malta, Cyprus, Sicily, Patmos.
Was it Malta?
Cyprus?
I think it's Cyprus.
Yeah, Cyprus.
All right.
Because Patmos was John, wasn't it?
That's John, yeah. All right, so let's see what we got. You answered 9 of 11 questions correctly for a score of 82%.
Oh, no. That's embarrassing.
Average score was 66%.
Hey. Okay.
No, that's embarrassing.
All right, here we go. Oh, man. Yeah, they were tough. So Apostle Paul was born in what city? We said Tarsus. That is correct. Paul's a citizen of Rome. That is correct. Saul was present for the stoning of what early disciple of Christ? Stephen, that was correct. Road was Paul traveling on when Jesus appeared to him? Damascus, correct. Happened to Paul after Jesus finished speaking to him? He was completely blind, correct. Paul was sent to preach to the Gentiles, correct. Who did the people at Lystra think Paul and Barnabas were? Roman, Jupiter and Mercurius? The answer is correct. Why were Paul and Silas thrown in a Philippian prison? We said for preaching against the Jews, that is incorrect. The correct answer is, do you know?
Was it the third one? It was not preaching on, or not the healing on the Sabbath. It was the...
casting out an evil spirit?
Yes.
And
it came before.
Let's see. That was also an axe. Did the Paul be grieved? Master saw. Right. It was because it was the girl that they were making money off of.
Yeah.
That's why he got chucked.
Oh, that's terrible.
I was going to say, preaching against the Jews doesn't sound right.
They just stoned him for that.
I guess Crispus. I don't know.
In what city... In what city did Paul speak on the Areopagus? We said Athens. That's right. Who fell out of a window when Paul was preaching? We said Eutychus. That is correct. Crispus is just fine.
Dang.
And question 11. On what island was Paul shipwrecked on his voyage to Rome? Crapola. We did say Cyprus. That is incorrect.
It was Malta.
It was Malta.
That's my first thought.
Right. Oh, man. Rough times.
I was easily convinced.
We beat the crowds, but hang our head in shame for not knowing our acts correctly.
Yeah.
All right. You want to do another one?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Let's do an obscure one.
All right. So let's do death. Have we done disease? All right. Here we go.
I think so.
Biblical quiz on disease. Number one. Who healed the man with the withered hand? Peter, Paul, Jesus, Stephen.
Well, Peter.
No.
Jesus did.
Yeah.
Withered hand?
Jesus.
I think Peter did. Oh.
The withered hand was Jesus?
Yeah.
Hey, it's two for Jesus, it's Jesus.
I think it's Jesus. Because I think it's the story where he both healed in succession. You see him heal a blind guy and heal a guy with a withered hand. And there's a comparison in Roman history about one of the emperors kind of doing the same thing where they tell a guy to stamp on a guy's hand and his hand is healed, or spit in his eye. And his sight will be healed.
Okay.
So there's like a parallel between the two. So I think if I remember that correctly, okay. I think it's Jesus. Yeah. Two, Jesus healed 10 men who suffered from this disease, but only one returned to thank him.
Leprosy.
Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath before healing a man of what?
Dropsy.
I agree. It's either dropsy, palsy, blindness, or leprosy. I'm pretty sure it's dropsy.
Yeah.
Four, what plague did God visit on the Egyptians when Moses scattered ashes toward heaven? Asthma, hives, boils, or leprosy?
Boils.
Boils?
You sure about that?
No.
I'm pretty sure it's boils.
Asthma was one of the choices?
And all the Egyptians started coughing really hard. Hey, man, where's all the sound coming from?
No, we can't come out to play. We're having a fit. Four men suffering from what disease went to surrender to the Syrian army but found their camp abandoned? Four men suffering from what disease went to surrender to the Syrian army but found their camp abandoned? Arthritis, cancer, leprosy, or palsy?
Ooh, leprosy.
That's leprosy.
Leprosy. You can't get palsy from other people, can you? Leprosy. It's got to be.
I think it's leprosy. Six, King Asa of Judah died due to severe disease of what part of his body? His lungs, his feet, his heart, his kidneys. His lungs, his feet, his
feet.
Heart, his kidneys.
Feet disease?
Feet disease.
King Asa.
I think it's kidneys.
I say feet.
Wait, is that the guy where the prophet came to him out where he was at his like cottage or whatever and told him that he was going to die and he was despondent?
I'm pretty sure it's kidneys. It ain't feet.
I know it's feet.
I don't think it's, kidneys, either kidneys or lungs. Dan, what are your thoughts?
I'm blank.
All right, let's go with kidneys then. Elisha healed Naaman, commander of the Syrian army, of what disease?
Leprosy.
Yeah, I agree, leprosy. Blindness, leprosy, a hemorrhage, or hemorrhoids? I'm sure. They didn't even spell hemorrhoids right.
That's how you know it wasn't Elijah.
Here we go. King Jehoram of Judah died when God struck him with a disease that paralyzed his lungs, made him bleed to death, made his heart weak, made his intestines come out.
His intestines come out.
Paralyzed his lungs, made him bleed to death, made his heart weak, made his intestines come out.
Jehoram?
Jehoram.
Intestines.
Jehoram.
Okay. Boova says intestines. I'm going to go with intestines.
I think it's intestines.
And when was it?
Jehoram.
Jehoram.
King Jehoram of Judah.
I think it was intestines.
Judah. During his reign.
Yeah, him.
It's in the annals of history.
All right, here
I
we
don't
go.
Recall.
Number nine. This is looking iffy, fellas. Number nine. Sick, blind, and lame people waited at the pool of Bethesda to be healed when what happened?
The water moved.
The
water
was stirred.
Stirred.
Who stirred the water?
Angel.
Very good. Yep. That's choice number one. Here were the options. An angel stirred up the water. A priest walked by. The sun was straight overhead, or the fountain turned on.
I wish we could see how many people chose the fountain turned on.
Here we go. Last one. A woman snuck through a crowd to touch Jesus, hoping she might be healed of
the
what?
Bleeder.
Bleeding.
Yeah, flow of blood. Blindness, a flow of blood, the palsy.
Okay. The palsy?
They wrote the palsy.
The palsy? It's like you guys
in the palsy.
It's like you guys in the Facebook. I've got the palsy.
All right. We feel pretty confident here?
Yes.
Mediumly.
Oh, boy, fellas.
Confident that we missed a lot.
Hey, man. We got 90%.
Of course.
We only missed one.
I think we missed Boova's intestine.
Nope.
I think we did too. Here we go.
Come on, please be right.
Who healed the man with the withered hand? We said Jesus. That's right. Jesus healed 10 men who suffered from this disease, but only one returned to him. We said leprosy. That's right. Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath before healing a man of what? We said dropsy. That is correct. What plague did God visit on the Egyptians when Moses scattered ashes toward heaven? We wisely avoided asthma and said boils, and that is correct. Four men suffering from what disease went to surrender to the Syrian army but found their camp abandoned? We said leprosy. That is correct. King Asa of Judah died due to severe disease of what part of his body? Actually, this was wrong. We said kidneys. That is incorrect. It is indeed feet.
Yes! I knew it!
It is
definitely
feet.
Not feet.
I knew Asa was feet.
Here we go. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians, and Asa slept with his fathers, and died in the 140th year of his reign.
That's not implied that he died of the foot disease.
He says 2 days later. It just says he was diseased in the feet.
Yeah, I mean, you could just die with feet pain. That doesn't mean it's what killed you. That's unclear. I'd like to submit a rebuttal.
I knew his feet.
Mike, protest number six.
I know MacArthur agree with me. It's a literal living with feet pain.
Number seven, Elisha healed Naaman, commander of the Syrian army, of what disease? We said leprosy. That is correct. Question eight, King Jehoram of Judah died when God struck him with a disease that made his intestines come out. That is correct.
Now, hold on. I always envisioned that site to there was like no open wound. Like, the first the intestines were in, and then they were out.
His stomach just exploded.
Like, he had an innie intestines, and then he had an outie.
kind of like a Herod Antipas moment, right? Where like all of a sudden it says the word, the worms eat them.
Yeah.
All the wham.
God could do it.
Here was the information. 2 Chronicles 21. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases.
And he worded that funny.
And his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers.
Like he worded it as if the intestines were on the outside of his body, like on his stomach. But he pooped it out. They came out.
It says his bowels fell out. No one says, hey, I took a fell.
Nice.
That's not the same thing. I'm sorry.
I took a fell.
It reads funny.
Number 9. None of the show's going to pass the censor.
I was going
to
say.
Sick, blind, and lame people waited at the pool of Bethesda to be healed. When what happened? We said an angel stirred the water. That's correct. And number 10, a woman snuck through a crowd to touch Jesus, hoping she might be healed of what? We said a flow of blood. That is also correct. That is 90% on the biblical diseases quiz.
Yes.
The quiz has been taken 18,000 times, and average score of the quiz is 67%. No one knows disease like life from the path.
So they probably all they have to do is answer leprosy every time, and you'll get like 60%.
I was going
to
say, that is the Scantron C of this test. It's like, hey, man, if I'm not sure, just say leprosy.
Yeah, leprosy.
All right, let's do one more.
Hang on, I got one more life from the path you need to roll out.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, dear life from the path, I like to wear a suit and tie to church where most people dress casually.
Oh, man.
It doesn't matter to me how others dress, and I have good reasons for my choice in attire, but sometimes I hear seemingly judgmental comments about my clothing. What would be a good reaction in reply to such comments?
What did they say exactly?
I don't know, but it sounds like he's fishing for a snarky comeback.
Right?
That's what it sounds like.
Hey, man, what can I say to other believers that think I'm dressing too snazzy?
I want to give him a zinger.
The real whiz bang needs to happen, all right?
I wear what I please. I mean, what's the big deal?
I'm trying to think, like, I've heard snarky comments on the other side of this, but, like, if you're the guy that's dressed up, I was trying to think of something that would be offensive, like, hey, what's up, suit? And I'd be like, hey, what's up? Yeah, nice. I got a suit on. What else?
I mean, I know you're making us all look bad here at Pathway. People will often, you know, hey, what are you dressed up? I mean, they're not really being snotty. They're just like, it just looks out of place and odd.
Right.
Well, is this your first time?
Well, you know? That's the thing is like, you wouldn't say that to someone who is a visitor.
Yeah.
Like if Boov has been going to this church for 5 years and one day he shows up in a three-piece, I would go, what the heck? But what happened? Were they on sale or something? You just need somewhere to wear it?
And the answer would be yes.
Yes. I mean, but that's because he's my friend. And like,
exactly.
He's acting weird. But like, if your normal deal is to wear a suit to church, I, you know.
Yeah, like, I'm just, like, in the way that he's taking this, I guess I'm trying to think through, what could someone actually be saying that in that context would be offensive? Like, he walks by and they're like, look at that suit that guy's got on.
That guy looks like a buffoon.
I mean, like, this is a chip on his shoulder, not anyone else's.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he first of all, his explanation of, I have a good reason for my choice in attire. So obviously everyone else that does not have good reasoning.
Right.
Otherwise, they'd also be wearing a fancy suit.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is a total chip on his shoulder. You can't give a man advice right here. Because he's painting a picture where he stands atop a mountain of greatness and everyone else is crappy.
I mean, you could say something like, created in his image and likeness, take that, Boaz,
yeah,
and walk away.
And the best I could come up with was this suit.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, I wore the suit today because I was created in the nude and that's not allowed here.
Yeah, because you guys frown on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes it awkward. Then no one will bring it up again.
Secular says, people who make judgmental comments about your attire are not worth the effort. I'd advise against getting into a spitting contest with a viper, because it might mess up your suit.
All those vipers not wearing suits?
I can't imagine. Here's the deal. Like, if you're really worried about this, you might be worshiping in the wrong place for you.
Truth.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if people are giving you a hard time for your suit, like, there's just something weird about that.
Agreed.
Yeah. Anyway.
Agreed.
All right. All right. Well, we're gonna take this. Gonna take another quiz.
Yeah, let's do another quiz.
We got time for one more quiz? Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we got time for one more. Dying words. While we're on the subject of disease and death,
do we dying words?
Yeah. Basically, can we pick out some of these dying words? I think that this one.
I feel like Stevens is gonna be the longest.
This one may prove difficult.
if there's one that's like 8 paragraphs long, we know it's Steven.
Stevens' dying words, chapter 7. here we go.
The last words that Jesus spoke on the cross were,
"It is finished.
It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Father, forgive them, for they know what they do, or I thirst." I think
it's just finished.
No.
Is that the whole point?
I think Father,
it's the Father, into my hands.
Yeah, that's it.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is.
You're right.
Two, whose dying words were, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge"?
Stephen?
Yep, it's not a paragraph, but it is indeed. I think it's Stephen. Other options were John the Baptist. He was not speaking. Stephen, Peter, and Matthew. Remember the Lord. That's Peter. Whose dying words were, "Let me die with the Philistines"? Ahab, Absalom, David, Samson.
Samson.
Four, whose last words were before committing suicide were, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith"?
Samuel.
No.
King Samuel.
No.
Saul.
Samuel was a prophet, you raving goon.
King Saul.
King Saul. Hezekiah, Saul, Judas, or Cain? Saul.
Saul.
Samuel Cain? Wasn't even an option, Ben.
dummy. Agreed. Secular. The last recorded words of one of David's sons who was murdered at a party was to his sister saying, "Arise, be gone." Who was it? Amnon, Adonijah, Absalom, Solomon.
Adonijah.
That was my gut thought.
Amnon?
I say Adonijah.
Amnon, Adonijah, Absalom, Solomon. So it's not Solomon, and I don't think it's not.
It's definitely not Absalom.
It's not Absalom.
It's Adonijah or Amnon.
I think it's Adonijah.
I'm siding with Amnon. I don't care how you answer, I'll remember it.
Dan, you're the splitter. Amnon or Adonijah?
I'm going to go to Adonijah.
Okay.
Ugh.
Number six. Just before
a disaster.
Just before killing him, who said to Amasa, "Art thou in health, my brother"? And he kissed him.
His brother.
Ehud, Saul, Joab, Absalom.
It wasn't Absalom.
What was the name?
I'll say, just before killing him, who said to Amasa, "Art thou in health, my brother"? And he kissed him. Ehud, Saul, Joab, Absalom. All right, so Joab is kind of a fierce character to deal with. He did a number of suspicious items. Ehud, wasn't Ehud the really fat guy?
Oh, they got the
died on the toilet.
Got the knife.
Yeah, the guy that was so big that you couldn't stab him with a knife. And
it wasn't him. No, I don't think he doesn't ask people if they're in health, because then it shows true that he is not in health.
Are you in health, brother?
I don't know.
Be thee well, brother.
Amnon tried to kill me.
Amnon tried to kill me by putting some food in my fist.
Okay,
I was too.
I don't know.
Too stuffed.
Hey, we're scrapping.
I'm gonna go Ehud.
I'm gonna say Joab, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. Just before killing. Oh wait, shoot. Just before killing this fat king with a dagger driven through his stomach, Ehud said,
"Okay,
I have a message from God unto thee." Absalom, Nebuchadnezzar, Xerxes, or Eglon? Eglon was the big guy.
Eglon was the big guy.
Yeah. But so unless he said both, I have a message from God unto thee.
Okay, wait a minute. So
are you in health, my brother?
Ehud is the Samuel L. Jackson of biblical times. He has clever one-liners, and then he offs a guy.
Okay. You better cool off.
So is it possible he said both, though? Because those do kind of go together. I have a message from God unto thee. Art thou in health, my brother? And he kissed him, and then wabamsy. What are your thoughts?
I think they're separate guys.
Yeah, okay. Ehud, yeah. He's one cold-hearted dude, if that's the deal.
Joab is also, remember, Joab killed Absalom after David told him not to. Gave him the old Stebinski.
No, Absalom died with his hair caught in a tree.
No, he got caught in a tree, and Joab found him and speared him.
That's what I said.
No, you acted like the tree had something to do with it.
The tree didn't hang him, it just grabbed his hair.
The tree murdered him.
The tree may have been accomplice.
Mother Gaia has taken retribution.
The mark of Cain.
You won't have beautiful hair in front of me, tree.
This is what creation groaning looks like.
The willow said, "This is why I weep."
That hair's gorgeous.
What woman's last words to Sisera were, "Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not," just before killing him by driving a nail through his head?
That was a tent stake. Same
yes.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Miriam, Jael, Deborah, Lesiphon.
Deborah.
It's not Deborah.
I think it's Jael.
It's like some name that you like you hear like once, like that's your
like
claim
Deborah.
To fame is.
I think it's Deborah. It's not a one and done.
Have some warm milk, sir. You're sleepy,
Deborah.
I'm gonna go with Jael unless someone feels strongly. No. Okay. This one's
Deborah.
I'll vouch for this to Rome. Number 9. What judge of Israel's last words were, "Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him." Then he had his armor bearer kill him.
King Samuel.
Ibzan, Samson, Abdon, Abimelech.
I think
Samuel was not a judge.
I said what? King, didn't I?
What judge of Israel's last words were, "Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him." Then he had his armor bearer kill him. Ibzan, Samson, Abdon, Abimelech.
I feel like I'm saying Abimelech. Sounds right to me.
He was not a judge.
Isn't he a king?
I'm leaning towards Abdon.
Me too.
Abdon.
Abdon it is.
All right.
Because all I think about when I hear that name is, woman killed you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Except for a technicality.
I mean, that's pretty... I don't know. Although Absalom didn't watch himself that way. Like, his long hair got caught in a tree, and he didn't say, "Oh, no, don't let people know that a lady got me." Oh, no!
Spear me now, because I don't want people to know a tree got me.
Some of these are suspicious. Here we go. Number 10, and let's see if we can redeem ourselves. To whom did Peter say, "The feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door,
Ananias,
and shall carry thee
Sapphira.
Out, just before she fell dead at his feet"?
Sapphira.
Sapphira.
Yeah. Or Sapphira.
Sapphira, yep. All right, here we go. Let's see what we do. This could be iffy. How did you do at home? Everybody do all right? We got 80%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not bad.
80%. I think we missed what we thought
we
missed.
C?
Yeah, we guessed Abnon a couple
times.
That's a B-.
Here we go. Last words that Jesus spoke on the cross were, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." That is correct. Whose dying words were, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge"? We said Stephen. That is correct. Number 3. Whose dying words were, "Let me die with the Philistines"? We said Samson. That is correct. Whose last words before committing suicide were, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith"? We said King Saul. That is correct. The last recorded words of one of David's sons who was murdered at a party was to his sister saying, "Arise, be gone." Who was it? We said Adonijah. That is incorrect. It is not good when Mike is right. It is Amnon.
Bam!
It is Amnon.
Mike brings home the prize.
Just before killing him, who said to Amasa, "Art thou in health, my brother?" And he kissed him. We said Joab. That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Ruthless.
Question 7. Just before killing this fat king with a dagger driven through his stomach, Ehud said, "I have a message from God unto thee." We said Eglon. That is correct. What woman's last words to Sisera were, "Turn in, my lord. Turn in to me. Fear not." Just before killing him by driving a nail through his head, we said Jael, and that answer is correct. Number 9. What judge of Israel's last words were, "Draw thy sword and slay me, that men may not say not of me, a woman slew him"? Then he had his armor bearer kill him. We said Abdon. That is incorrect. The correct answer is Abimelech.
Oh!
Abimelech. And finally, question 10. To whom did Peter say, "The feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out"? Just before she fell dead at his feet, we said Sapphira. And that is indeed correct. That was 80% that we got. Quiz has been taken 6,000 times, which an average score of 71%.
That means most people got 80. And a couple people just terrible tanked it. Got like 10.
You know what's interesting? Although the people did better on the last words than they did of the disease.
Really?
Even when leprosy was an option in the last one.
Like 6 times.
Here's the deal, man. Thanks for hanging out with us here at Live from the Path. This is Silverside. Remind you, they're going to be in town next Tuesday, July 14th. And Pathway Church at 6523 Mohair Road, 7 o'clock. Please come out to that. That show is sponsored by Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower Team. Go to EisenhowerTeam.com. He's also a good sponsor of the show. He's just the man for the job for all your home buying and selling needs. And, he's just the guy to deal with. I deal with him. Mike deals with him. This is where we get houses bought and sold, is through Bob Eisenhower. Make sure you hit him up if you are in the market to buy or just to sniff around. Bob and his team are the way to go. If you're on the Truth Network 99.3 FM, we've got to let you go. And I tell you what, on the podcast, I'm going to give you a reprieve and I'm going to give you the week off.
Yeah.
Enjoy some free time. Kiss your kids. Do whatever you got to do. Thanks for hanging out with Life from the Path. We'll catch you next week interviewing Silverside. In the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path.